Today I want to talk about the idea of gathering as a step to doing. At some point, we all experience a delay in action when we want to do things. It's natural for us to try to respond to our impulses to create, to do, to take action, while at the same time, it is natural for us to try to protect ourselves from making mistakes, causing ourselves pain, or other people pain for that matter. I think it is this self-protective urge is what gives rise to most procrastination. In many activities, we're faced with the challenge of dealing with situations that we feel are too burdensome for us to handle. At first, we may believe that we need to become more. We need to become more in order to handle them. This idea of more can take on the energy of stronger. I need more strength. I need more size, so I have to be bigger. I need more intelligence and awareness, so I need to be smarter. I need more energy, so I need to be more invigorated, and so on. We try to change us in order to meet the challenge. The other obvious approach is to make the challenge lighter, less burdensome, not as heavy or as overwhelming. As an example of the choices, let me tell you about moving a heavy piece of furniture in my home. I regularly exercise. This makes me stronger than I would otherwise be. However, the mass of the furniture that I wanted to move was still too large for me to lift, no matter how strong I might become. I know how to lighten furniture. I use silicone slides underneath the legs of the furniture, which makes it extremely easy to move the furniture on flat surfaces. In effect, the silicone sliders underneath the legs reduce the friction or resistance between the floors and the legs of the furniture. So to move the furniture, I would gather my silicone sliders in order to prepare to do the move. You might say that because I know what I need for the job, that the job is already lighter for me, mentally and emotionally. And that would be true. Because I gathered my wits, as the saying goes, I am thinking and feeling more effective even before I do anything physical. I have had clients ask me to coach them to write a book. They want to write a book, and that's what they wanted to coaching. I want to write a book. Can you help me? I start with the premise that you can't write a book. You can only write words and sentences, which you can organize into paragraphs. And, of course, you can organize those paragraphs into chapters, and those chapters can be organized into a book. However, I suggest to people that they start this writing process by gathering. Gather the writing instruments, the pen or the keyboard or the pencils or whatever device you're going to use in order to make words appear, and the kind of paper that you're going to write on, or the computer, the chair that you're going to sit in as you write, and the desk space that you're going to use, and the scheduled time for the writing. Gathering these items into the environment you choose for writing is a major step in writing. This idea, gathering as a step to doing, is so common, so obvious, that in so many situations that we overlook it. But it is not so obvious in other situations that if we applied it as a process, I think it could produce greater results for us. For example, bringing out the ingredients for a cake you want to make or packing a suitcase for a trip that you're about to go on are so obvious that you don't give it a second thought. You go, yep, this is what you do before you bake a cake or you go on a trip. However, starting or improving a relationship or restoring one's health, they're not so obvious opportunities in which we could use this process of gathering as a step to doing. If I told you that the reason people fall almost always is because of the way they step, you'd have to think about that for a moment, and just consider that to see if that fits your own reality. They fall because of the way they step. If a very small child is ready to try to walk for the very first time, and if they could take a step of the proper size for them, they would be able to walk without falling. What do I mean by the proper size step? A proper size step would be one that enables that child to maintain control over their center of gravity. Children and other people fall when they lose control of their centers of gravity. This weekend, my intention, I started yesterday and I'm going to do some more today, is to watch American football on television. It's the playoffs. And interesting to me. I'm going to be watching athletes with unbelievable physical intelligence who are going to be doing amazing things with their bodies. To say that they can manage their centers of gravity is a vast understatement. They're required to maintain their mental and emotional centers of gravity, too. And yesterday I watched that a couple of times when that did not occur. Personal fouls called, taunting, and other things that where they got emotionally intense or angry or insulting to the other team, and they got penalized for it. These players, yesterday and today and next weekend and in the Super Bowl, these guys are going to have to endure physical pain, tiredness, excitement, discouragement, hope, disappointment, fear, guilt for these penalties that they've incurred, anger, happiness, and probably a bunch of other emotions as well during the games. The players that get knocked out of balance and stay out of balance will be less effective than the competitors. As a whole, the team most effective at maintaining their centers of gravity, mental, emotional, and physical, and consequently the most balanced, are almost always the people who win the games. Here's an interesting facet about size of steps. I've traveled quite a bit. I've walked in cities, in Europe, in America, of course, in South America, and Asia. I've walked in small towns. I've walked in jungles. I've walked in mountains, riverbeds. I've walked on stairs and steps of all kinds. I've run fast. I've sprinted. I've jogged. And I've shuffled. And I've strolled. And I've recognized that the size of the steps has varied greatly. Some of the steps that I'm forced to take in the size of the steps or staircases, some were too large for me and some were too small, but others were very comfortable. In certain circumstances, climbing stairs or steps, whether they were made out of wood or concrete or cement or rock or mud and sticks, the height of the steps sometimes were dangerously steep and other times tediously too small or too short. Another way to describe this idea is to talk about gradients, the graduations of the inclines or declines if we're going downhill. So let me just talk about the gradient of certain steps. In some cases, was not a good fit for me. And the same is true of running. When I was becoming a paratrooper, occasionally we would run quickly, no problem. But other times we would run with tiny, tiny little steps, shuffling, and I noticed that the muscles of my legs would tighten up and become painful. And I was like, these steps are too small for me. These steps are too small. So when you think in terms of taking a step, that stride, what is normal for you, what is normal for me, what is normal for other people are not necessarily the same. If we're trying to take a step that is too short for us, it's going to be uncomfortable. If we try to take a step that is too large for us, we're going to be uncomfortable. That caused me to want to go to the computer and look up the normal height of a step, because I noticed in some of these ancient places I've walked, say in Rome, that the steps were, how come it's this height? Why did they decide on this height? And so I was curious, is there a normal height for a step in the stairs? And in America, there is a building code that says what those things need to be. That's interesting. So, generally speaking, it's about 7 3/4 inches. There's a little bit of a range, but the ideal scene, and you've probably experienced this, if some of the steps are 7 3/4, 7 3/4, 7 3/4, and then one is a little smaller, or one is a little longer, higher, that can be really dangerous. When I was looking at this on the computer, there was a comment or a remark by somebody who said this: if there is even a little variation, and he said 1/4 inch, in the height of the steps in the stairs, it would make it even a ballerina fall on her face if she were to try to run up the steps. So we normalize a certain step, a certain stride, and when they're too big or too small or they're not as expective, we could end up falling on our face. I'm not a ballerina. And I bet you're not a ballerina either. And guess what? We're not small children learning to walk either. But we are people who frequently start new projects, go in new directions, begin new relationships, start businesses, do all kinds of things for the very first time. We don't want to fall on our faces because of the wrong size steps. Gathering is a good foundational gradient that is easy for us to do, and it's safe, and it makes everything else from that point on easier to do, and it makes us more effective and more productive. And those good feelings are what we're looking for. If gathering beforehand prepares us for the next proper size steps to take, we're going to be more successful. We're going to be happier as we start to step forward. Walter Russell, a modern-day Leonardo da Vinci, who I regularly refer to, limited education but became world-famous in 5 or 6 or 7 different areas, said the key to his success was a couple of different things. That he would devote 2 hours a day to a given topic and then move to something else 2 hours for the next 2 hours. That way he never became tired of a particular topic or project he was working on, and it kept him invigorated, so tiredness was not an issue for him. So instead of getting tired stepping through the same topic, if you will, the same focus for more than 2 hours, he would stop at the end of 2 hours and go on to the next thing. This is probably explains why he was world famous in philosophy, business, horsemanship, ice skating, other forms of businesses, science, music, sculpture, painting, photography. Like, wow, that's pretty impressive. But this was his real key. He would get an idea, he would get a question, he would get a problem, and then he would take it to the source of all knowledge. So I'm going to say it in this way. Walter Russell used to gather the vision of the completed project, the answered question, the solved problem, from the source of all knowledge, which is where he went to in meditation. And then when he got that in his mind's eye and it was real clear to him, then he would come back and implement things on a physical level. The guy who wrote the book about him, The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe, asked him, well, you get great ideas, why don't you just implement them? He said, why would I do that? I would waste time, make errors, waste money, expend a lot of energy and effort, and have to do things over and over again. When it's complete, when I, in my language today, when I gathered the vision of the completed result, that's when I implement things. I think this approach is available to you, to me, to all of us. If you think of gathering as an energetic process, it can be a physical process too, in case of making a cake or a sandwich or changing a tire, but it is in the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical gathering that we can work out the problems beforehand. And if just think, if we can avoid mistakes, if we can save time, if we can save energy, if we can save money, why wouldn't we want to do that? If you think of this, and if you've ever lived any place where you could do this, I used to live in Manhattan, and I found this to be a wonderful activity, window shopping. Window shopping. And you can walk down the street, I'd go on Fifth Avenue, I'd go on 57th Street, I'd look in all kinds of shops all over Manhattan on long walks, and just gaze at things that were beautiful, that were interesting, that were curiosity provoking. Like, wow, that's cool. Wow, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't know those things existed. You can gather on an energetic level those things that you see. So gathering in our mind's eye, energetically, in our imaginations, can be as fun as window shopping. The interesting part of that to me is that we can add the energy. Well, this is what I want. I want more of this energy. I want more of this. I want more beauty. I want more elegance. I want more fill in the blank. You can gather those energies, and it's as if you're stockpiling them for your use in bringing things into physical manifestation. That's cool. Another way of saying that, Abraham of Abraham Hicks says, that's like adding things to your escrow account that you're going to be able to draw again later on when you want them in actuality. So I'm saying you can add the energies that you want to your, quotes, basket. And you go, And the more we enjoy that process of gathering the energies that we want, the energies we want, the energies we want, you go, wow, that's cool, that's cool. And because we're rehearsing, because we're practicing, because we're pre-paving these experiences, we're guaranteed to be more successful and fulfilled with those processes that we're about to do. This is inevitable as we gather things, and we've done this throughout our lives. You know, we gathered things when we were 5 and 10 and 15 and so on, and all the years in between. We look back and go, oh, I don't really need this now. We can take the energies out of our basket and let them go. We can remove them and let them go. We gather things based upon our level of awareness at that particular time. And we go, oh, you know, now I don't really care for that anymore. I don't really need that. If it has value for somebody else, that's great. Let me donate it. But if it doesn't, let it be recycled. And as we do this, we take in new things and we let go of old things. Like, yep. It's an ever-evolving process that we can grow in. So our skill at gathering as a aware person is going to change over time, and that makes perfect sense. You know, we might have collected, maybe not for girls, bugs and other things, baseballs and baseball cards, but dolls and other things that were appealing to children. You go, yep. And later on, okay, I no longer need those. Let me donate those to other people who may find value in them. So we gather, we let go, we gather, we let go. And ultimately, if we're gathering the solutions to problems, if we're gathering the desired end result vision, we're going to be so much more creative and causative in our lives. You can look at a relationship that you're about to embark on. You want to deal with a vendor. You want to go on a date. You want to make a presentation. You want to learn something. It is the you. You can gather the vision of the you who is going to be most effective at that. People have done this process for job interviews. If you know a person, and I had a client recently that was going to go on a job interview, and so I worked with her. I said, okay, so let's go through this process. What can that possible attitude of that person? So, well, he's from New Yorker. He's a New Yorker. I said, well, if I wanted to stereotype that, I know what that means. But he's from Germany, living in New York. I said, well, I can use that stereotype, mix the two of them together, and let's just walk through this so you can gather the energies of all possible exchanges that are going to occur, and you know who you are, and if you can gather all your finest qualities and bring them into focus for this 30 minutes, this 1 hour of your interview, you're going to be able to be really effective. She was concerned because she had had surgery and she was on painkilling medications, and she was like, oh, I'm not at my optimum. I'm not at my optimum. So you don't need to be at your optimum for 24 hours. You need to be at your optimum for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour. Everything is guided by rhythm. You understand high tide, low tide, night and day seasonality. It's not high tide 24 hours a day, nor is it daylight 24 hours a day, nor is it summer 12 months a year. Everything is a peak and valley, like waves in the ocean. She got that because she's a surfer. It's like, okay, I get it. All you have to do is be at your peak for this short period of time. She said, I can do that. Whew, that takes a lot of pressure off. Of course. So you can gather in that awareness. You can choose this thing. You just need to be at your peak for this energy exchange experience, whether it's surfing on a surfboard or sitting down to write or having an important conversation with another human being, or running a marathon. That's 4 or 5 hours. You just have to be at your peak for 4 or 5 hours. Now, that's no small thing, obviously. But if we add the energy that we need, and we can gather it in, but in order to gather it, we need to be aware of exactly what it is. So, who do you want to show up when you're going to exchange energy in any of these experiences? And if you can answer that question, you go, that's helpful. It's like getting dressed for a particular event. You're not going to put your pajamas on and go to a formal dinner. You go, no, I wouldn't do that. Of course you wouldn't. You know that you would gather clothes that would be appropriate for a formal event. Clothes that make you feel good, that are appropriate to the context. Obvious an example of gathering before we do something that we forget, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm selecting things. Yeah, exactly. We can do this. You can add these energies. You can gather what you want. And this is the creative process, because simply by putting your attention on the energies that you want, you think that will help you accomplish the doing that you are involved in or about to become involved in, is going to strengthen your position, make you more of who you are. I think gathering as a step to doing is an important idea, and we can use it to our advantage and coach other people to do this too. When they feel overwhelmed at what appears to be a climb of Mount Everest. Only a few people are climbing a Mount Everest. All the rest of us imagine much more mundane tasks as being that complicated and that arduous. But it doesn't have to be. Particularly if we can understand gathering as a step to doing. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from letter 8 in Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. If we can make that real for us on every level, that is some serious gathering right there. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive, that we may better gather awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, as we gather, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive gathering, receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. So, Amen.